The Democratic Party is a party of many faiths. We support and defend a woman's right to choose a safe, legal abortion.
Let us, in the words of Scripture, hold firmly, without wavering, to the hope that we confess. Thank you. God bless you.
I am very pleased to introduce to you the next Vice President of the United States, Governor Sarah Palin of the great state of Alaska.
We believe that we are all made in the image of our Creator, by whatever name we call him or her.
It definitely started a lot of people. Didn't know what to expect when John McCain made the announcement last weekend. Governor Sarah Palin would be his running mate, and then people saw her and heard her and then saw the family and started to piece together what this woman is apparently all about, and then the stories that have broken over the weekend as well about matters within her family that some find concerning. Others find them, well, a third rail they don't want to step on or touch. We're going to be talking here for the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about the vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party. And tonight she'll be speaking at the convention, Governor Sarah Palin of Nebraska. After our conversation with Jennifer, we're going to be spending the rest of the program with Dinesh D'Souza. He's author of the book, What's So Great About Christianity. He's going to be in St. Louis debating Christopher Hitchens, famous atheist, on September 10th at Powell Symphony Hall. We'll be talking to Dinesh about the arguments that atheists make and how to respond. You can join us for the next hour of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-MY-IE. We're coming to you live this Wednesday. It's September the 3rd. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Or email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest, founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale University and George Mason University. She's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
How do you respond to this one about Governor Sarah Palin? She's got kids at home, big family. She has the youngest just born with Down syndrome, and she's going to potentially move to Washington, D.C. and take the second highest office in the land. And there are a lot of stay-at-home moms who are saying, I couldn't pull that one off, and they may object.
Well, you know what? I know a lot of stay-at-home moms, Todd, and they're all over the map in terms of the things they do in addition to taking care of their kids. I mean, I have a friend who's a stay-at-home mother of 9 kids and who's also a pro-life attorney that she does pro bono work on the side. I have friends who just do all kinds of things. And in some cases, what they do is, in collaboration with their husbands, they're not all about, okay, I go to the office, I park my kids in daycare, my husband goes to the office, and we're all about making as much money as we can. The way these big families work is that they work together to make stuff work for their family. And I think that to say she should or should not take this job because she has kids, I think that's a really, really way stepping over the boundaries into, of what's acceptable discussion about this kind of thing. Because it's for the husband and the wife to figure out for themselves how they want to run their family, how they want to set up their family, and how they can best work together to make it work. And I think that's what's so refreshing about Sarah Palin and what has the establishment feminists so flummoxed. They don't get that she and her husband are collaborating, not competing with one another, that they're a team and they're going to pull together and do what they need to do to make things work, as they have been doing for the last however many years. You know, that's the way ordinary, normal people make their families work, make their lives work.
I want to come back to the establishment feminists, as you called them, in just a moment, but I'm curious about your personal reaction to Senator McCain's pick.
Oh, I was so excited. I almost drove off the road when I heard the announcement. I was ecstatic over this announcement. And I have to say, I've actually heard of her prior to the announcement on Friday. And I went and checked out my blog, my JenniferRobackMorse.com blogspot blog, and I had actually blogged about her back in May because I was so impressed about her giving birth to her Down syndrome baby and the kinds of things that people said about it and the grace with which she comported herself at that time. I thought, wow, this is really a cool person. And so when he made that announcement on Friday, I was so energized. I was so excited about it. I just thought it was an inspired choice. And I think this race, which was at one time Obama's to lose, I think it's now very much in doubt who's going to win. It's all very much in play because she is bringing a fresh face and a lot of energy and enthusiasm to this ticket that simply wouldn't be there had he picked any of the sort of more expected or mainstream type of candidates.
I'm wondering, what about her has the establishment feminists so flummoxed, as you said before?
The things that make me delighted about her are the very things that they either can't understand or actually despise. I mean, the fact is, she is a post-feminist woman. She's a post-feminist professional woman. And what I mean by that is that she ignores feminism. It's just not a category in her mind. She has had a whole adult lifetime of doing what she thinks is best for herself and for her family, and she ignores all of the old, tired, lame categories of Marxist feminism. She's not in competition with her husband. She's not sitting around saying, poor little me. She's not sitting around saying, if only I had better access to contraception and abortion, everything would be fine in my life. You know, she's not doing any of that stuff. She's basically saying, I'm a woman. I'm a capable woman. I'm going to do what women do. I'm going to do what capable women do, and that is to get married, love my husband, accept lovingly from God the children that God may send us, and make my life work around that. Honestly, the thing that worries me the most about her is not her becoming vice president. It's moving to Washington, D.C. from Alaska. She's in a nice, sensible, down-to-earth place up there in Alaska, moving to the Beltway. A lot of those people are nuts. I hate to tell you, but you know that place is so full of people who are completely wrapped up in themselves and their careers and their own advancement, and it's a completely different world. She is going to shake those people up so totally, and not just the feminists. Everybody is going to look at her like, wow, this is something new, this is something different, and I think people are calling her a breath of fresh air. That's exactly what she is. She's calling them like she sees them, and she's doing what she thinks is the right thing to do. And she's basically ignoring the ideological categories that have defined so much of so-called women's politics over the last 40 years.
What do you think she needs to say tonight when she addresses not only the Republican Party in convention, but also through the media, the entire nation?
That's a very good question. What does she need to say? She needs to give the country confidence that she can lead, and that she is up to the job. I think the specific things that she says are not nearly as important as the impression she conveys of strength, of authority, and yet warmth. And that, I think, is the combination that she showed in her acceptance speech. I guess it wasn't formally an acceptance speech. Her first speech when John McCain named her. Those are the qualities she showed that were so endearing to everybody. She's both capable and authoritative, and yet she's warm and open and likable. And so this is a person that you can follow, that you feel good about following, because she seems to know where she's going. And she's got a solidity about her and a kind of common sense about her. I think she needs to be herself, and she'll be fine, is what I think. And I have heard that she is writing her own speech for tonight, and I think that's a very good sign. It means she's not letting the handlers handle her too much, if you know what I mean, because that can be a real disaster if the political operatives start hovering around and trying to define what you are. She is the real McCoy. Well, we'll see if she is. I mean, I believe she's the real McCoy, but if she is who she appears to be, all she really needs to do is be herself, and she's going to be great.
There are those who are saying she was picked because she's a woman, and she stole that factor from their opponents. They're saying that she was picked cynically because she was a woman to steal that factor. Others are saying they're to shore up the base for John McCain. Why do you think Sarah Palin was picked? 1 minute.
all of those reasons and more. I mean, those are perfectly acceptable reasons to pick a vice presidential candidate, either for, because of demographics or because of appeal to your base. She's also picked because she's from a very different state, and she's a new, young, fresh face. I think her energy is one of the main reasons that she was picked, and the fact that she will generate enthusiasm that no one else could generate. She shores up John McCain's pro-life credentials, which is very important in energizing the base. Now what he's got, the evangelical base, all of the conservative base, frankly, has been very lukewarm about John McCain, and he now has them energized in a way that they couldn't have been with any other pick. So I think it's really been an inspired choice on his part.
Do you think that more Roman Catholics will support McCain now with Palin on the ticket? About 30 seconds.
I think that's very likely, actually. I think it's very likely. She's appealing across all of the different types of Catholics. The pro-life Catholics are going to love her. The more left-leaning type of Catholic tend not to be as hard left as the Nancy Pelosi, although I guess she calls herself a Catholic, doesn't she? But they tend not to be as hard left as a lot of the other feminists. And so I think there are many of those women who can find something to like about Sarah Palin.
Folks, when you surf the web tonight, go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on demand, and you'll find a direct link to the website for Jennifer Roback Morse. She's founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego and author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much, Todd.
When we come back, Dinesh D'Souza will respond to the atheists. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Friend, classmate, roommate, cousin, brother, sister,
spouse.
Some of these people I will never meet.
This is our time. This is our place. This is our duty to stand up for the more than 45 million members of our generation killed by legalized abortion on demand since 1973. Every day, more than 3,500 members of our generation are killed by legalized abortion on demand. Approximately 40% of all abortions each year are performed on teens and college-age women.
We are the first generation of survivors of Roe v. Wade. We are the ones who escaped death by so-called safe, legal abortion. And we have a responsibility to join in the fight to protect the most defenseless members of the next generation, unborn children.
This has been a perspective on life from National Teens for Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org.